Hello there. Welcome to Let's Talk Sports with Coach Stro. I am your host, Coach Stro. Today, we will be talking about the NFL scheduling, why I believe there may be a rookie who has a big chance to make some big moves this season just due to the scheduling. I also want to touch briefly on the Lakers coaching search and how I think that may play out. And yes, Bronny happens to be a part of that. Last but not least, we are going to also speak on my views on Jokic. Had a call into the Dan Patrick Show per usual, and it happened to be about the dominance of said player. That and more on Let's Talk Sports. Here we go. As stated on the intro, I did give a call in to the Dan Patrick Show, and it just so happened to be his birthday as well. That was also the reason why I called in. So, without further ado, let's go ahead and get into the question that I had for Dan Patrick earlier this week, courtesy of the Dan Patrick Show.
I was talking like this, and then all of a sudden I'm talking like this. But yeah, very lucky. Joe in Orlando. Hi, Joe. What's on your mind today?
Happy birthday to the GOAT, of course, Dan.
Thank you, Joe.
Lastly, I just got a question. What is it going to take for Jokic to be in that most dominant category? I know Shaq was there for a while, and I think that may be why he has been a little irritable lately, but that dude Joker is just different, man. He's different. What is it going to take him to be the most dominant? Because he dominates on every aspect.
Yeah, but he's not going to get credit, Joe. And look, it's a great question, but he's not, because it's the style in which he dominates. There are certain guys who have style points. We look at them and go, God, that guy's unbelievable. Joker is not unbelievable. He doesn't make the highlights, or at least he didn't used to. Now you have to put him in. Now, last night, of course, you will. But normally, it's a nice, crisp pass. Or maybe it's a tough, you know, three-point shot. You know, high arcing shot. Shaq gave you style points. Like, you were like, oh, my God, did you see Shaq? You know, Kobe, Mike. You know, Bird had style points. But Joker, he doesn't care. Like, it's just like, all right, I must score. He would much rather pass. How many all-time greats would rather pass than score? And especially a big guy. Magic, Bird, they would much rather pass than shoot. Maybe LeBron most of his career. Yes, Eden.
Yeah, but how many all-time greats are allowed to get away with passing and not shooting? All-time greats is usually like, the ball's in this end. If they pass it off, they're scared to take the last shot. That means you're not great. You're scared to take the last shot, then you can't be great. But we've spent years on topics like that. But this dude is like, ah, man, how great is he? He didn't even want to shoot. He wants to pass it.
Well, he did win a title. That helps. If he didn't, then we... Now, we just did that with LeBron. I don't think we...
I wasn't saying the name.
I don't think we've done that to anybody else. It was just like, oh, LeBron.
Just saying.
LeBron doesn't want to take that shot. We didn't say that. Michael Jordan didn't hit big shots in the finals. Steve Kerr and John Paxson did. Nobody said, oh, Mike didn't want to take the shot. It was, oh, he made a smart move. He found the open guy.
Unselfish.
Now, if LeBron had done that, Skip Bayless spends his whole morning talking about that. But that's the only guy. It's just, and you know, I think Joker people are like, when does this end? Like, okay, all right, we get it. You're really, really good. When's the next way? Where's Anthony Edwards or some of these younger guys? He's not going to slow down because he's already slow. And he's not going to come back to earth because he's not going to be able to jump high because he can't jump high. He just has, you know, a brilliant way of seeing the floor. And that sounds strange to people because in all sports, how do you see something? And the guy played water polo. So you're already with the ball in your hand and you're surveying the whole landscape there. So that's how he grew up, understanding where everybody is and what I can do. What a great advantage. Great footwork, great touch, sees the floor, willing to pass, you have to have an imagination to be a great passer, whether it's in football or in basketball. You have to go, I can do that. I can see that. And that's what's the brilliance of some of these players who see something that you don't see. And it's something you're born with. It's not a learned skill. But, you know, to watch him do what he does over and over and over, like I marvel at it. But I don't think he's ever going to get credit as being a dominating player. He'll have dominating stats. I just don't think people go, golly, when he got on fire, he was unbelievable. It's like Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan was unbelievable. But tell me the best highlight of Tim Duncan's career. Probably a bank shot.
He ain't had to do my man Tim like that. He ain't had to do him like that, Dan. Damn. He ain't had to do that. But to his credit, yes, that made perfect sense to me. One thing that I understand is that I don't know everything. I am a nerd about sports. I have a fascination with history, so it all just kind of goes together. Me asking a question in that aspect, it put everything in perspective in the sense of what the media and or I guess you could say the nation, what their definition of dominating the game is. And like you said, style points. And that was a great point. Now, next topic is the Los Angeles Lakers. And, well, I just closed my iPad and I have my whole thing written here. And I don't know why I did that. It was because Dan Patrick was on there. So excuse me. The Lakers coaching search and how LeBron's showing up in Cleveland matters on many levels, right? What people may not remember or may not know is that on that closeout game, I think with Boston, the last game in Cleveland, it was the first game in Cleveland after Mother's Day. He was in Cleveland. Oddly enough, he did the same exact thing in Miami before he went back to Miami. LeBron wants to play with Bronny. And there are multiple reports coming out about how teams are interested and all this other stuff. The Jazz are interested. Of course the Jazz are interested. Dwayne Wade is an owner, so of course. That's dumb. But anyway, LeBron wants to play like Bronny. In all aspects, the Lakers are probably the best chance for that to happen. Unfortunately, the Lakers are ran like a mom and pop store instead of one of the most powerful franchises in sports. They operate the same way that their old Doc Bus did back in the days. Star power over everything. And they haven't realized that times have changed. The ways that the Spurs, OKC, I'd even say the Heat, are ran better than those teams. Nobody. And not even Boston, because if you think Pat Riley would have allowed the team that went to the championship and lost to the Golden State Warriors to still be together, you are completely wrong. That team should have been blown up a long time ago. Secondly, LA needs him for the next 2 to 3 years, and that's for business purposes. The league needs him there. I think he will stay and he'll retire in LA. The latest I believe LeBron James is going to retire is 2026. I think that is when he's retiring. Year 2026. All-Star game is in L.A., and LeBron needs to be in L.A. That is, I think, the league's farewell tour, LeBron's farewell tour. It will be in the year of 2026, and you heard it here first. LeBron will be retiring in 2026, I'm telling you. Lastly, the coaching search. All these reports. JJ is the lead candidate. Well, no duh. Reports came out that the praying trust of Coach K, that is, has been giving them information and insight as far as who to hire as their next head coach. And if you listen to the last cast, I've told you that they've always wanted Coach K and had a fascination with Coach K. Do I think that J.J. Redick will be a good hire? Yes, he would be a good hire, but he would not be the right hire for the job. You just got done with a new head coach, with a one-year head coach. If you are going to get a new head coach, go get a coach that's been in the game for a multitude of years, and that's actually been in a solidified organization. Personally, I think Quinn from Miami is the clear-cut choice. Skip Bayless was talking about Pat Riley. No, Skip. JJ is not Pat Riley. Why don't you go get the guy that's been in the same franchise as Pat Riley? Maybe he's the next Pat Riley, not some guy from Coach K. These guys throw up a podcast, and in 2 months, this guy's getting interviewed by the entire league. It's ridiculous. And that makes me go to another point. I don't want to take it there, but let's go there. Phil Jackson predicted this. This power that LeBron would have over the league, the ability to maneuver coaches, players, whatever the case is, the league goes through LeBron. And what makes it even worse is that they have a commissioner that co-signs on everything. David Stern would not allow the powers that LeBron has today to be allowed, for the simple fact of conflict of interest and so many levels. But yes, I do think they will hire JJ Redick, and I don't think he is the right hire. Go get Quinn. Establish a championship culture that will take us into the new next two decades. You guys are trying to find band-aids in a situation where the ship is sinking. Pour out the water. Okay? Cough up some money and pay a coach. You cannot pay you can't pay $2 and expect to get the best that's out there. You didn't get Tyronn Lue, and he hasn't had a whole roster and has been taking the Clippers to playoff runs. He has had them playing playoff basketball without having Kawhi Leonard, who's missed over 180 games his entire career in the Clippers uniform. Instead, you elect to choose the newly Suns fired coach, Frank Vogel. Instead, you elect to choose Darvin Ham. You need to get somebody that will solidify your organization and will be the bad guy if need be. Nobody needs to like the coach as a player. Whatever happened to that? Y'all remember the days when players dreaded their coach? Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to the respect of that's the coach? Hey, watch what you say around him. Watch how you act in interviews. The disrespect has gone so far that Jimmy started disrespecting the Miami organization, and I mean, that's for another take. I think he's out of there. Point in case, Lakers, pay a coach to coach. Stop paying these assistant coaches at a head coach rate, expecting them to do a head coaching job. They can't. They're not equipped. On to the NFL. I've seen this headline, and at first, I thought it was wild. Nick Wright of First Things First, it's also with Chris Broussard. Y'all go check that out. I rock with Chris Broussard, and I also rock with Nick. They're both very, very great sports analysis. They have great opinions. Nick came out and said Caleb Williams will have the possibility of making a Super Bowl run. I was like, what is he talking about, bro? A Super Bowl? Is he serious? Then I stopped. And I listened to him explain. And he goes on and he's like, man, their schedule. And I was like, wait. What is he talking about? His schedule. Now, given they are in one of the harder divisions, but 5 of their first 9 games are against opponents who Vegas is betting are going to be in the bottom half of the league. Who are those opponents, you may be asking? Well, we have the Titans, Panthers, Commanders, Cardinals, Patriots. They also have to play the Vikings twice, which is also a possible win. They play the Seahawks. They play a lot of games that are, they got some, that's all right. And I'm looking at the schedule now and I'm even thinking even more. Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. I think it's possible he can. But it also depends on how quick Caleb is able to adjust to the way that an NFL defense is. Being that he's coming out of the Pac-12, I don't think he really seen that many. Seeing as how Michael Penix reacted when he seen Michigan's defense, which was ran like an NFL defense, I don't know how he's going to be able to adjust. First game is the Titans. I think that's a winnable game. The Texans, that's not a winnable game. Colts, not a winnable game. Rams, not a winnable game. But here is their stretch. They have this little stretch in here now. The stretch, why did it just do that? All right, so it was a stretch. After the stretch that I just gave you guys, their stretch afterwards was actually pretty easy. After they played the Rams, they have the Panthers, Jaguars, Commanders, Cardinals, Patriots. And then they play Packers. And then they play the Lions, both very, I think, the Packers. They play the Packers and then Vikings, which I think that's a winnable game. The Lions, that's a loss. 49ers, loss. Vikings, win. Lions, loss. Seahawks win. Packers. I think the Packers is a toss-up game. I think it really depends on the weather, as well as where the last one is when it's played, because the first one is at Chicago and the last one is at Green Bay, but it hasn't had a time, so it could be a flex game. They also were talking about teams that had primetime games, and there is a team this season that has zero primetime games. Zero primetime games. And rightfully so. And I feel bad for these fans. And it's the Carolina Panthers. I feel really bad for these fans because of the fact of they have to be punished because of the manner in which their owner conducts business, let's say. Throwing drinks, going in restaurants for how their sign about the opinion of the team. Like, bro, come grow up, bro. Ain't you a billionaire? Aren't you a billionaire? Why don't you act like it? If you really want to talk about it, the first thing, I believe I think it was your wife who's also the owner. She didn't even talk about the team. She was talking about the fact that y'all selling it out. So once you make football a prime priority of yours, I think then you can start to take those criticisms a little more harsh, a little more seriously. Because you ain't done nothing to help Bryce at all. Like, I don't know, but man, you've been fumbling here, brother. And I hope you get it together. Not for the sake of you and your business, but for the sake of these fans, because Carolinians are faithful fans. They love their sports teams, no matter how bad or how good they are. Like, it's 2024, and I was just talking about Chris Winkie and Jake DeLome with someone. All right? And then we started talking about Cam and Clawson and that whole drama. But either way, get right, man. For the sake of the fans. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate you for rocking with me. This is The Coach, and this is Let's Talk Sports. Be sure to follow us on IG and Twitter, as well as on Facebook. We will be coming to a podcast YouTube channel live soon. But until next week, ladies and gentlemen, it is The Coach. I see you.